Hey, welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That is geeky and weekly. That's geekly, it's pop culture, and we stand the TikTok children of tomorrow. Once again, it's me, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the rootinest, tootinest, cow hootinest co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey, y'all. Howdy, y'all. It's it's your gal Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snowpeer on Tumblr, and Hello Steph on Instagram. Feeling pretty brutin' and tootin' today, and I wonder how our other co-host is feeling.
Where's the other co-host?
We're still doing the bit. I appreciate the commitment.
You know, I'm here as a guest, but I don't know about your other co-host. I guess I'm filling in for them. But
if you were to pretend you were a co-host, how would you be feeling?
You know, nervous if I was pretending to be a co-host. But if I'm a guest, I'm fine. And I'm Eric still. And I'm still Tindy Losey on Twitter. And I guess other places that you might find me under that name. But why would you?
On the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, on the PlayStation Network, on the... that's my Blizzard account name. I think that's my Discord name, but it's got some numbers after it, so good fucking luck with that.
I signed up for a game today, and they're like, you have to enter a name. I'm like, I don't know, Brother Dom. That seems pretty standard. It's weird, because another game from Steam automatically pulled my Steam name, so I'm not sure why this game didn't. But hey, you know, it is what it is. We do what we want to do. How are y'all doing today? It's been a week.
Tired. That's it.
Yeah. I can't even remember what has happened in the last week. I feel like it was a never-ending slog as usual, but, you know, happy belated Juneteenth.
Yes, happy belated Juneteenth. Thank you if you were saying it to me, but I'm saying it to the audience as well.
To you and the audience, you know.
It was productive. It's good that more and more people are finding out about that. Not everyone knew about Juneteenth growing up. I certainly didn't know about it growing up. Just because, I'm not sure if you know this, but they don't teach that in a lot of schools, especially majority white schools. It just never comes up for some reason.
I didn't even know about it until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that as well.
But we get places and we learn things, and that is a very good thing. But that is just one thing that happened. Some people maybe Cash Apped or Venmoed their black friends, and... we don't need people's guilt. That's not what we need to succeed in this society. But if you do want to send your black friends money on a holiday, I'm not going to sit there and tell you not to do that. Because money is pretty dope, I have to say. But yeah, lots of people did fundraisers and stuff like that. So more and more popularity and stuff is coming out. So that's good. And good holiday. Lots of statues coming down. Racist ass statues. Good news.
Hell yeah. I saw a very good... a proposal that somebody said, you know, for all these dumbass Confederate statues, we should just take the people down and leave all the horses. And that way
good,
we're just...
bad, horses good.
Yeah, and, like, then we can just become a nation, like, America's just a nation that really fucking loves horse statues.
I don't think that would be false. I mean, you know that one statue with the guy that looks really bad? Like, the statue doesn't even look like him. He's just a really goofy-looking statue.
The really ugly Nathan Bedford Forrest statue?
Yeah, I couldn't remember the name. Have you looked up who that guy was? That guy was a horrible man. Like, the guy that made that statue was pretty bad. Like the leader of the Klan and stuff like that. And this statue went up, like, in 1999 or something. Like, it was... this is not an old statue. Like, or is it 99 or 89, if I recall? I was on a voice chat with some friends, and we were looking up some of these statues. You know, they live down in, like, in Stone Mountain, which has, like, a big Confederate statue or something, or, like, wall carving or mountain carving. So, you know, just thinking about some of that stuff. But, yeah, there's some horrible people. If you want these statues to stay up, like, wonder why, they're more monuments to horrible things rather than historical documents.
Yeah.
If you want to learn history, just go on the internet.
I saw that Stone Mountain that there's, like, the Confederate mural carved into, that's the final boss of taking down the statues.
Wouldn't that be Mount Rushmore?
That too.
Mount Rushmore is the bonus boss, because, like, you have to, like, get your affairs completely in order to realize you need to even fight that boss.
Yeah.
So I'll go, I think you're right, it is the final boss, but Mount Rushmore is the bonus boss. Anyway, that's kind of pop culture-ish. Let's talk
cool,
about...
podcast over.
Before we get fully into, like, some of the more defined things, I wrote Juggalos in the show notes, and I can't 100% remember why I did that.
But I can tell you why.
Yeah, okay. They're pretty cool, that's why.
Juggalos are inclusive as shit, and they like, reissued a t-shirt this week that was, like, fuck your rebel flag, and was, like a clown makeup-clad Juggalo person, ripping a Confederate flag in half.
Yeah, I always thought growing up that they were, like, really racist people, and that's on my fault for stereotyping the kind of people that listen to, Insane Clown Posse. We're often the type that were racist people, but not the same kind of people. So what I mean by that is, you know, down on their luck, white people that are often recruited for, like, racist movements. However, they really hate, like, racism and cops and shit. So, Juggalos are kind of friends, so it's kind of a nice twist.
One of the few ways Homestuck was wrong about our apocalypse.
Yeah. They hate cops, love Faygo. So Faygo's I've got that dope, in common though. With them.
Faygo Pop is so good.
Yeah.
Red Pop is the best one.
Agree.
And I know a lot of people call it soda, but, like, I feel like Red Pop has to be called Red Pop because that's its name.
There's one that's like Moon something or other that's really good.
Is that like a Sprite?
I don't know. I thought it was like a yeah, it might have been a Sprite or a cream soda or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Cream soda is so good.
It's so sweet that I can only drink it, like, once a year.
It's
a good treat for conventions. But no, Violent J of Insane Clown Posse, I think it's been known before that his daughter is a furry, and he once, like, wrote the scathing review because he bought her a fursuit that turned out to be not so great.
Amazing.
But he got her another one that looks pretty good. And wanted to, like, be supportive of her, and I think she must have wanted this. So he got a fursuit commissioned for himself that has, like the fur head has, like, Insane Clown Posse markings on it.
Nice.
And it's just so adorable.
They were at AnthroCon last year. I don't know that because I was not at AnthroCon. Let's get that out there. But I have friends who were, and they got to meet them, so...
I would go to AnthroCon, like, just because it's a convention. I'm not a furry or anything. Well, I think that, but I'm really excited about a furry anime that comes out in 9 days, so maybe I am. I don't know.
Also really like Sonic. That's like the step one to becoming a furry. Yeah, that's like how you become a furry 101.
No, Robin Hood is step one. Sonic is something different. But yeah, good news for them. So speaking of the resistance growing in fun ways, let's talk about TikTok Zoomers and stuff like that.
Heck yeah.
That's pop culture, right?
So, TikTok Zoomers and K-pop stans, welcome to the resistance. So, the much maligned rally that Trump had planned in Tulsa this weekend that was first supposed to be on Juneteenth, which was, like, not even a dog whistle, like, actually just, like, blowing a big, loud, like, train whistle. But then got moved back to yesterday, Saturday, the 20th, because he's just, you know, he has so many black friends, and, you know, Juneteenth is pretty famous because of him now.
Yeah, he nobody knew about it before he started talking about it.
But yeah, so it was one of those things where you could, like, you weren't reserving seats, but you could kind of, like, get tickets ahead of time, just so they had, like, a head count. Just by, like, putting in a name and email address into the website. And, like, I did this back during the campaign a couple times. Like, just, like, reserving, quote-unquote, seats so that they would not be full when the time came.
Yeah. Basically say, like, they think they're going to have a million seats, so they get a venue for a million seats.
Yeah. And or then, so that they like, pump themselves up in, like, the right-wing media circles, being like, oh, this is going to be the biggest thing we've ever had. And then has less than 6,000 attendees.
Yeah. So, yeah, so between K-pop stans and TikTok Zoomers, and, like, TikTokers of all ages, there's a significant Venn diagram overlap between those two groups. Just, like, absolutely slammed this site with requests, like, up to 800,000 people requesting tickets. And so they had, like, at the rally, they had, like, a overflow area outside that Trump was going to come talk to afterward, and, like, they thought they were going to have a full house in this stadium that the Wiggles were able to sell out.
Pink sold it out in 5 minutes at one point.
But, Trump did not sell it out, and no picture they were able to take was able to make it look like there was a crowd.
Yeah.
No, and it was free.
Yep.
Because nobody wants to go to your racist hate rally coronavirus spreading conference.
I was gonna say, like, your chicken pox party for death. Literally, you had to sign a waiver with your ticket that said if you died of coronavirus after the rally, you couldn't hold Trump accountable.
Which, at that point, honestly, you know, I'll give them that, because if you went to that and caught coronavirus, I'm gonna blame you for that one.
Yeah, you were the
that's
dumb
your own
one
dumb
there.
Fault.
Like, you knew not to go there. But no, that's being generous as a joke. It's absolutely this person's fault for pulling the wool over all their supporters and giving them the runaround and all this kind of nonsense, which is terrible. But it's fun to think about K-pop stans and TikTokers and stuff like that saying, "Hey, let's use our let's use like prank energy for like actual protests and resistance powers." You know, sometimes really small actions can be acts of defiance and resistance and shaming those who need shamed. So that's pretty cool.
And this isn't the first time that K-pop stans have come to the battlefield. Like, just a couple weeks ago, they were kind of, like, spamming all of the racist hashtags on Twitter, like the Blue Lives Matter hashtag, and All Lives Matter hashtag, and the White Lives Matter hashtag, and all of those kind of things, with just, like, with, like, K-pop boots, and, like...
Just, like, fan cams and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And, like, which is the, hilarious. The snitch apps that police were putting up to try to, like, dox protesters. Like, here's a bunch of BTS fan cams. Have fun. Like,
it's so good. It is interesting. Like, anytime I see, like, one of those hashtags trending, like, something that's kind of racist, I feel happy that my first thought is, like, let me click on this and see if it's been co-opted yet by the K-pop stans. And it, like, normally has. Like, you have to scroll a long time to see somebody say something actually racist. It's mostly just people saying, "Man, fuck racists, stan BTS." It's like, hell yeah, I will. That's a much better alternative. Good job. Which is cool to utilize people's effort for something they already were going to do anyway. So it's like, hey, instead of putting this under this like music review, how about you put it under some racist, like, views are views, baby. That's the whole impetus of this action. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you like if you just posted this in the BTS hashtag, then you know only other BTS fans would do it. Maybe you'll get some more people into BTS if you post it in this other hashtag.
That's what they're already doing. That's why people get annoyed by fan cams, because they'd be like, "Oh man, this is a really good song by the Baja Men. stan this other band." You're like, "Why are you here?" And they're like, "Look, I'm just trying to get views on the fan cam." And that kind of became a meme. But now people are like, "Yo. But if you're willing to do that, like, why not use it for good?" And they're like, "Yeah, that's fine. We're chaotic neutral." Well, actually, they're chaotic good at this point.
Their alignment has switched based on their actions of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, but I guess what I've been looking at is K-pop stans, like, their biggest crime is always just maybe being annoying. They were never actually, like, doing anything. Well, no, well, that's every fandom, like, will harass and dox people. It's not, like, a K-pop stan unique thing.
Yeah.
But their biggest crime was just being, like, annoying sometimes. But again, I'm from the Sonic fandom,
of
so...
all, obviously.
But I mean, if you asked most people 6 months ago, who'd you rather hang out with, a K-pop stan or a Rick and Morty fan, the answer has not changed. So, like...
Was the answer neither?
No, the answer was, like, a K-pop fan. Okay, you have to pick one. Like, and it's still... People would rather hang out with K-pop fans than Rick and Morty fans. You know, just... Oof. You have to have a certain IQ to watch Rick and Morty. You just have to be a good person to like K-pop. So, but that's not all. We're not done with the TikTok discussions. There was sort of a thing going around, some comments underneath a TikTok, I believe, where Zoomers were kind of dragging Millennials for a little bit. Deservedly so, but it did cause a little bit of intergenerational riffraff.
Yeah.
Like... Which I think was half meme, half like a little bit serious, but some people from our generation turned really quick into the boomer style without even... blinking an eye. They got real defensive.
I mean, understandable in some ways, but it definitely did not deserve the vitriol that some people reacted with it.
For sure.
Know. Yeah, I feel like most of the stuff like that people were saying was just like, "Oh, those millennials, they drink wine and complain about their back hurt and have student loans." It's like, yeah. Yeah, I say that about myself all the time. Like,
you got me.
They're like, oh, they're more worried about their Harry Potter house and they're 30 and don't own a house. And my response to that is just like, yeah, good luck owning a house at 30. Like, good luck. Yeah. Like, it's not getting better.
Like, it's like, oh, man, that hurts. Not because I'm dragged, but because, like, I can discuss my Harry Potter house. The chance of me getting a house are quickly diminishing, and they were already pretty bad to begin with.
Yeah.
But most of it was just kind of like, oh, you know, millennials say stuff like adulting too much and their memes are kind of cringe. It's like, I mean, that's just the circle of life.
Yeah.
I mean, although it is kind of cringy when people say adulting, and I've done it. It was cringy then, it's cringy now to look at. So I'm not going to, they're not really wrong on that or anything.
I feel like a lot of it was just like millennials being like, yeah, drag us too. Like,
I was a little salty. I'm like, yo, we were just defending y'all like a month and a half ago. What happened? Like, why are we the lame ones? I thought it was boomers, but someone raised the point that we're catching it from both sides now. Like, boomers, like, millennials are worthless. Like, they just graduated. Also, no one knows how old millennials are, but we're getting dragged by the boomers, then we're getting dragged by the Gen Zers. We're like, yo, wait, but we didn't get to the chance to be old enough to talk shit on the generation below us. Like, what happened? It's like, oh, right, we're 30. We should have been doing this. Like, we missed our chance. I mean, but it's all in good fun. It's kind of funny, you know, like, our memes are getting kind of lame. Zoomers are going to grow up and their memes are going to be kind of lame. It's just the way the world works. Although I'm going to still stick with the memes that I grew up on because them shit still bang to me. I don't care.
Fair enough.
That said, though, Lil Nas X and Billie Eilish put out bangers. So, like, I don't know how old I am because, like, Bad Guy is a bop. But then I hear some of the other stuff and I'm like, I don't understand it. I don't think it's bad. I just don't get it. So am I old or half old? I don't understand.
We're on the lower end of the millennium. We're not quite like zillennials or whatever the cringe term for it is, but like,
they're all terrible terms.
They're all bad.
I think no, baby boomers make sense. Like, there was a baby boom and you're the ones. I'll give that to you.
You are the boomed babies.
Yeah.
They got boomed. That boom boom pal.
But then, like, so here's where it all falls apart. There was Generation X because everything was X, extreme and cool. That was just dumb. Okay? So there should have been Generation Y at some point, but there was the, whatever Generation Y was supposed to be, it was called something. Then us, the millennials, then, like, a half generation after us, but before Generation Z. So, like, where was Y? But it went straight to Z, and they're kind of being called Zoomers, half as a joke, half as a diss, half as a like, it's quicker to say Zoomer than Gen Z. And this is all just weird, and people are like, what's next? Someone's like, Generation Alpha. I'm like, oh, so we're just going back to the top of the alphabet? Like, we're just going to be lazy? Like, get out of here with that mess.
Like, yeah, like, wait and see if there's something, like, you know, call it Generation A for Apocalypse, you know? Yeah. Like, wait and see if there's actual something that defines the generation before
Generation
we...
Heat Death of the World.
The world, like...
I appreciate that MC Lars has the song I Generation, which was more just like the generation of time we were in. It wasn't really a group of kids. But someone tried to like actually have that as a term of people, but it never caught on because like it sounded bad when we said it. It still sounds bad to say they're the I Generation. They grew up with the internet. Like, this isn't going to age well in a month or so.
Hey, but we're still talking about the I Generation.
But that's a good ass song, though. That's why. MC Lars for president. No, but yeah, that's that discussion. We're all gonna get old and be sad and lame and cringy. It happens. It's a part of life.
Already there.
Oh yeah, already there. But you know what's, you know what is cool though is they announced Pokemon Snap 2.
Yeah, they announced a bunch of Pokemon stuff this week. But yes. Snap 2 is the best of them.
I know the Pokemon Snap was like you take pictures with your Pokemon or whatever. Can you explain to me the hype? Because like people across the TL were excited about it.
That's literally it.
Okay, I wasn't sure if there was like a deeper thing.
No, if I want to explain the hype, it's kind of like that. This is an unpopular opinion here, and I'll admit to being wrong in this opinion. But it's like that's, I think it's the same hype of like, oh wow, Untitled Goose Game is so great. Like, there's a shark game coming out. Ooh, there's a cat backpack game. Like, just these like really quirky kind of things that are like, it's not just making somebody bloody, it's a something else kind of game. And I think there's like sort of people to have that inclination just to play something off the beaten path, because basically Pokemon Snap's just an on-rails shooter like House of the Dead, which your gun is a camera. Like, it literally has the same format. You're in a cart that moves along a certain path, events happen, and you have to use your ammo or your film to do certain actions in a certain amount of time. That said, it's fucking cool. It's fun because Pokemon's fun. But that's really all it is. You're in a little cart that goes along a path through various biomes, and you have, like, apples or something. You can either, like, knock Pokemon to enrage them, or, like, apples will go out and they'll eat them. Yeah, like, you could throw an apple like a Meowth to, like, knock him off of something.
You had, like, aggro balls as well that would, like, or, like, I don't know. There was all sorts of different stuff in that first game. It was a neat concept, and, like, you could clearly see that they wanted to do more with it, but because of the N64's limitations, like, couldn't. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited to see where it goes on Switch.
Me too, because there's, like, cool stuff that you would have to do. Like, there's, like, a dex of Pokemon they wanted you to take a picture of, and Keen Eyes would say, well, I never saw that Pokemon on the trail. It's like, you'd have to do stuff like, I don't know,
you had to, like, knock a Charmander into, like, a pit of lava, and it would turn into a Charizard.
Yeah, like, stuff like that. Or, like, throw an apple so a Pikachu would walk over to it, but he'd bump into a Magnemite, so that would, like, lose its balance and go into another Magnemite, so they would combine into a Magneton. And, like, that magnetization would do something like shock some water, like a shell, like a shell? Cloyster? What's before Cloyster? Sheldon?
Shelter.
So, like, Shelter would, like, jump out of the water or something and land on a Slowpoke to make it a Slowbro. So you'd have, like, these weird chain reactions, like, oh, cool, like, I did this thing, or there's, like, oh, those clouds look like a Moltres. That's how I take the picture of Moltres. Like,
yeah.
So it was pretty fun and nifty, and just, like, with so much stuff that Nintendo had, like the DS and the 3DS and the Wii U, there were so many perfect chances for a Pokemon Snap sequel. And for all intents and purposes, for people like me that don't design games, it seemed like a no-brainer. Like, we could design a whole-ass new Pokemon game, or use the assets from the last Pokemon game to make, like, a little Pokemon Snap tour. I'm like, now we're not doing that. Nobody would buy it. So we've been begging for 21 years, and they finally said, okay, we'll do it. So I am excited about it. It is, I don't know why people are super, super hype about it, but it is very cool, and I'm glad it's coming out, and I want to play it. Again, no shade to people who like Goose Game and stuff. It's, like I said, I know that I'm wrong, but it just,
It's interesting. I'm excited to see how it go, like, you know, how they approach it this time. And, you know, the other announcements were, like, kind of weaker. So, like, that was clearly the thing they were leading with. Because, like, the other announcements were, like, Pokemon Smile, which is, like, people were mad about that. Which is, like, an app to help you, like, brush your teeth better.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know,
that's for children.
Sometimes games are for children.
Super clearly for kids. And I saw some parents on the timeline that are like, yo, this is perfect for, like, my kids right at that age where I want to stop brushing their teeth, but I know they can't do, like, a great job by themselves yet. So, like, you know, like when you let go of your kids on their bike for the first time kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, this is the perfect way to help them. Like, I'm happy this is coming out. Like, yeah, this is clearly not for the adult fans. Like, relax,
Chief. I feel like, in some ways, like, if you're that mad about it, maybe you do need it. Like, the kind of person who gets mad about Pokemon Smile, I feel like, is probably not doing the best job with their own dental health. Like, correlation is not causation, but...
Yeah, it's... The only complaint in massive air quotes I could see is, like, why'd you use, quote-unquote, coveted Pokemon time to, like, show us this thing you could have just announced? But it's like... because this is the best time to do it. Like, if they put that into, like, a Nintendo Direct, I'm like, yo, you're wasting time right now. But a Pokemon Direct, cool.
Yeah, I'm happy. Specifically Pokemon announcements.
Yeah. And they're also releasing Pokemon Cafe, which is a puzzle game?
Yeah,
that I don't quite know how it works. I don't know the mechanic. You just stir it up and stuff happens.
Yeah, it looks neat, though. And it's free, so.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to trying that. I think it comes out in this next week or so. I don't know why I think that.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
I hope I'm right. I want to try it. It's, like, on Switch and mobile. I'm free to play, so it's probably going to have you buy microtransactions, but, you know. And I think they said there's another event coming up soon, so there will be more information. Oh, and the Sword and Shield DLC dropped.
Yeah, which I was trying to get to before we started recording today, but I hadn't finished the main game yet because I kind of fell off of Sword and Shield. But went back to playing them, and I was like, yeah, this is good. Like, I don't know why I stopped playing this. You know, probably to play another MMO of some sort at the time. But I'm excited to try to get to see it. You know, there's some, like, cool stuff that they added, like the ability for your Pokemon to follow you around and, you know, little things like that.
It's cute.
Yeah. So, and, like, the new Galarian form of Slowbro is pretty cool because he's got a gun hand. So, that's pretty dope. So.
That is fun. Are they going to just, like, add all the Pokemon in that weren't there before?
I don't know, because, like, full disclosure, I don't know how many got added in the current one. But, like, I could easily see, like, making a case for them to start doing that, but who knows at this point?
Yeah.
Well, I just very badly want them to be better about releasing the Galarian forms of stuff into Pokemon Go. I have simple needs.
That game still has Steam. That's really great. I'm glad that game has lasted so long.
There's nothing... We have never been closer to world peace than the week that Pokemon Go released.
That was a good summer. And, it was literally all downhill from there. Like, it just got worse and worse and worse. We're Pokemon going to hell.
Yeah.
It sucks. But lots of cool stuff coming out. And speaking of Nintendo, there's a Smash Bros. Direct tomorrow, our time.
Are they going to announce another Fire Emblem character?
I hope not. The joke, but... they said they're announcing... Well, we know it's going to be a character from ARMS, the fighting game that they made and didn't put any effort into backing. Probably because it was like a launch title for Switch.
See, but you didn't know this, but, like, one of the Fire Emblem characters was a guest character in ARMS, so that's actually who they're adding.
I wouldn't even be mad at this point, because the audacity would just be hilarious. But yeah, they explicitly said there will be no other characters announced at this time, it's just about the character in ARMS. Like, don't get your hopes up, we're not playing around, like, it's just about this one character. Which is pretty cool. What I assume they will do, though, is what they... I assume they're probably going to tell us about some Mii costumes or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got Sans and Megalovania. We got Cuphead and Floral Fury. I'm hoping it's, like, another third-party character and, like, a song or something. That's my hope. My hopes aren't up. I just want to see who the ARMS character is. And they will have to have some kind of new weird style, because ARMS was an interesting game. People are hoping it's not Springman, like, the main character from it, because he's really basic.
Wasn't there a cool black lady character in ARMS?
Yeah, there was. Twintel. And it kind of was rough. I wish, like, if I would have known somebody from ARMS was coming in, and that there would be a chance that it wasn't the main character, I would have hoped she had a more standard design, because it could have been her. Like, she fights with her hair, and I don't see that as being a problem, but I don't see Nintendo being like, ah, yes, make that the flagship representative of this character, or of this game in Smash, which I wish they did. But the general thought is that it's going to be, like, Hero from Dragon Quest or the Koopalings, where it'll just be one character that's a bunch of characters from the game. Which is more work for the art team, but less work from character design, and that you only have to, like, make one character type and then a bunch of skins for it. Which is a good way to have it, and hopefully... Well, if they did that, they probably wouldn't be able to have Twintel. That'd be a lot of extra work. So I hope they don't do it that way. The hope is just that it's one of the women. Sources are pointing at Min Min. She's a popular character from that franchise that people really like. I'm excited to see who it'll be and what their moveset will be. I hope it's not just Little Mac with longer arms. Because you can make a case for that, too.
Big Mac.
If they do, yeah, it would be Big Mac, or you could be Long Long Man.
What a good commercial.
Yeah.
For what?
Series Taffy, of commercials.
Right? Yeah, it was a whole story for Taffy that I hope was tasty. I want to try it.
I was going to say, I kind of want to buy some.
Yeah. The advertising worked on me. What else? Oh, I mentioned Cuphead.
Oh, you did?
Let's follow up on Cuphead.
TV show, right?
Yeah, on Netflix. There's going to be a cartoon that's kind of like the Fleischer art style. Mm-hmm. And I think they are learning a lot about the stuff they got called out for before. Because that whole time period was pretty racist. Like, not necessarily the art style itself, but the rubber hose, but the idea of, like, giving black people really clips and really blackface and stuff like that was racist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're trying to do something like make sure the devil isn't, like, too much of a caricature.
Yeah.
But Cuphead's voice actor is black, so that's pretty cool. He's not doing like a black voice or anything. He kind of sounds like SpongeBob when he needed to drink some water. But like, that's not an insult. It's just like, that's what somebody in the comments compared it to.
And it's cool a very to see apt description.
Yeah.
I mean, I know exactly what you mean by it.
Exactly. The devil has a bit more of like a flamboyant flavor to him, but so did the voice actor, I think. And just, you know, as a casino owner, you could be a little bit more of like a dealer kind of person. So, you know, it has like a lot of that flavor. I'm curious to see what it turns out like, but I think it's coming to Netflix at some point. So that's fun.
So do you know anything, is the plot of the show going to be similar to the plot of the game, or?
I have to imagine. I don't know. I don't know much about it, honestly. I think it's just going to be, hey, the devil keeps trying to trick Cuphead and Mugman, and they probably keep getting tricked or find ways to not get tricked. But I would watch the show if it was literally like, hey, we're just going to do the plot of the game again, but we're going to make it a show. Like, that would work, too.
Mm-hmm. Is it, like, is it a kid's show or, like, a more grown-up animation thing?
I didn't see that much about it. Curious. If I'm being honest, I didn't do a lot of research. Uh-huh. I just saw that...
Sorry to ask you a million questions.
No. I should have done some research, because I want to know the answer to these questions, too. But no, I just saw that they had a black voice actor, and, like, because somebody said, oh, man, Cuphead's black, so I looked, I'm like, that's dope. I'm happy with that. There's also a third going around this week, or this weekend, that was talking about how Marceline from Adventure Time is black.
And it's true.
The reason we know that is because her voice actor is black, Marceline's voice actor is black, and Marceline's mom was black in the show. So someone's like, I'm pretty sure she's a vampire. It's like, you can be a black vampire. What do you mean? Like,
haven't you heard of Blackula, you jerk?
Yeah, Blackula, that guy from Adventure Bros, Blade.
Scott Bakula.
I'm sure there's someone in What We Do in the Shadows.
There was a black vampire in Twilight, right? In the movie?
Yeah, but only in, like, one of them, because Stephanie Meyer was big racist.
That's fine. Well, it's not fine, cool. But we still managed to find a way.
Can't believe that. Is she worse or better than Rowling?
I mean, she's always been very open about what, like, her beliefs, and, like, the whole Twilight series is a very thinly veiled, like, Mormon parable about waiting till marriage and being pro-life. So,
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
they don't
turns
have
out
that.
I didn't read Twilight, if you...
They don't have
you
that know. Monster baby until after she gets married. Because they're worried... Because Edward's worried that if they fuck while she's a human, like, she... He turns into a vampire once they're married, because they thought, well, she's a human. Like,
I was going to say, is marriage how you turn into a vampire as well?
I think that it's, they wait. I've seen people, like, make fun of these movies and stuff, or, like, just do comments about them. And, yeah, at one point, the demon baby that they get is going to, like, they're like, yo, this could destroy Bella. And it's, like,
actually,
that situation of, like,
yo.
He has
to, like, cut her out of his stomach, like, cut the baby out of her stomach with his teeth. Like, it's body horror breaking dawn.
That means that she can kill the Witch King, at least. Although the
it's
baby
true.
Can.
I think at one point, doesn't Jacob say, like, why don't we get that thing out of her? Like, isn't he, like, doesn't he imply that, like, that would be a better solution?
Doesn't Jacob also want to fuck the baby?
But yeah, then Jacob also does imprint on the baby shortly after it's born.
Damn it, Lava Boy.
Oof.
No, so, sorry. Shark Boy, not Lava Boy.
Well, Lava Boy is the unproblematic gender swap.
Hey, look. We're all lava down here.
What?
I don't know.
Is that a euphemism? Like lava exploding
anyway.
Out of a volcano?
Yeah, when a volcano
I think I did the it joke.
And a landmass love each other very much.
Eruptions happen.
One of my Duolingo prompts has been, if you want to have a baby, you have to get married. Like,
don't tell me what to do.
And it's like, excuse me? Like, you were being so progressive earlier, Duolingo. Like,
it's like a class perk.
Sakura has a girlfriend. It's like
you don't need to be married to get pregnant. You need to be married to have a baby, like, to have it. You know, it's like a class thing. You just get a baby when you get married.
Oh, see, I thought that you meant, like, you could get pregnant, but you don't deliver the baby until you're married.
it just stays inside.
Look, as a cis man, I know a lot about being pregnant. Let me explain it to you.
The But yeah, anyway, the point is that J.K. Rowling and Stephanie Meyer are problematic in different and sometimes complementary ways.
Yeah,
which always have been.
Go read K. Applegate instead.
Exactly. Hey, they're making an Animorphs movie, baby.
Oh, I want the CGI in that to be bad so like it matches the covers, but like if it's good, yeah. I'll be like, well, that's fine, I guess.
Although, like, the thing about Animorphs is that, like, in the end, they don't win, and it's about the horrors of war and, like, PTSD and, like, child soldiers and shit. Like, it's gonna fuck some, like, a whole new generation of children up to, like...
Welcome to it, Gen Z! Ha ha ha!
I mean, I think they're prepared, because they're like, yeah. Oh, this is better than our real life.
Yeah, in our real life, we can't turn into animals.
In real life, we lose a war without a weird forever war that we didn't sign up for without turning into animals, so.
What else is going on? Sonic.
What's next?
Sonic stuff happened. They released in advance for Sonic's birthday, like a DJ mix, which is just like, you know, about an hour of just different songs from pretty much every Sonic game, except for the first three. Like, the Genesis stuff is not referenced, but the CD game is. To be fair, Stardust Speedway Bad Future is a pure banger.
Well, yeah, the Sonic CD had some very good music in it.
Yes, it did.
Not to detract from your talking of Sonic music, but speaking of Sonic 1 through 3, I beat Sonic 1 this past week.
Cool. You had time for that?
Well, so I used a lot of save states, because I bought the Genesis collection on Switch. And I just want to say that after playing Sonic 1, I am amazed that other Sonic games ever got made. I played it when I was little, and I thought it was great when I was little because I was a dumb child. But, like, playing it as an adult, I play it and I'm like, this is just a bad game. Like,
I think if you take Marble Zone out of there and maybe Labyrinth Zone, or make it only one act...
I was going to say, the Labyrinth one is also not cool. Like,
it's not great. The music is awesome, though. Actually, yes. Marble Zone, I think that's why there was another one made. The music will make you think you're having a better time than you are.
Yeah.
But none of those gate levels have to be three acts. Three acts is too much for any of the... Except for Green Hill Zone.
Yeah.
But Spring Yard's good for an act and a half. Labyrinth Zone's good for, like, half of an act.
Well, and, like, I was going to say, the Sonic 1 is the only one that had, like, the three acts per zone as well, right? Like,
yeah, except for some reason Metropolis Zone in Sonic 2 had three acts.
Cool.
And that's the only one, and that was the worst stage in the game.
Yeah, because I think they figured out after the first game, like, man, if we make people play three levels of each of these zones, they're going to go fucking insane. Like...
Yeah, especially in, especially because, like, the theming didn't change and the music didn't change. Whereas in Sonic 3, the music would change and, like, the level gimmicks would, like, morph a little bit, too. And, like, there would be different stuff in the level to explore.
Yeah, like Angel Island Zone, caught on fire.
Hydrocity, you'd go to, like, deeper into the palace. Marble Garden Zone was just stupid. Carnival Night, the lights went out and it was underwater. Ice Cap Zone was the other half of the ice cap. So, it didn't always change, but they would add new gimmicks to it, but, like... Sonic 1, you're like, yo, you're just doing the same shit three times with different layouts. Like, I get it. And then Starlight Zone was pretty alright. So, I don't know. I see why they made a sequel, because they're like, yo, we could do this, but actually good next time.
Yeah.
This was our first draft.
And I'm not trying to dunk on Sonic. Like, clearly I'm a fan, because I've played most of the other ones. It's just, I had never beaten Sonic 1, so I was like, I'm going to go back and do this.
It's not a lot of fun to go back to play, honestly. It's my least favorite out of all the classic ones by far.
Yeah, Eric made a very lackluster argument for me to buy the whole Genesis package.
You should buy the Genesis package. It has Sonic 1 and 2 in it. Are those good? No, not really.
Sonic 2 is good. It just shouldn't have Chemical Plant Zone as the second level.
Yeah.
Like, that is a bad second level for a game like that.
It's very hard. And then, there were some other good stuff in the Genesis collection, but yes, I did not make a very good case for buying it.
And by the time I actually looked it up, it was not on sale anymore, and I was not willing to spend five full price.
No, it's not worth that at this point when there's so many other ways to play those games. But yeah, the soundtrack, it's like a DJ mix, has different stuff. It has stuff from, like I said, Sonic CD, Colors, 06, which had dope music, honestly, Forces, Mania, the Riders games for some reason.
Hell yeah.
Sonic R is in here twice.
Okay, Sonic R had some really good music.
I loved those songs.
Its main theme is fantastic.
The Rush and Rush Adventure. So, like, pretty much every, even something from Team Sonic Racing. So it has everything other than the Genesis games for whatever reason, but I didn't know that Sonic Forces had bangers in it. Nobody told me. I should have assumed, but I didn't know. There's good stuff in there.
Yeah, that game wasn't as bad as, like, a lot of people gave it shit for. You know, like, it was funny to make your OC, and, like, then you just pressed forward and you won the game. So
yeah, it's a little straightforward based on what I saw, but I most of the people I saw playing were like, it's fine. It's, you know, it's not worth the full price they asked for it, $40, but it's fun. So I'm probably going to get it next time it goes on sale, but mostly because the music makes me feel happy. Sonic was in prison for a few months and doesn't seem to care. And yeah, Aaron from Sonic is...
Speaking of things that make you happy and things that make you sad.
Yeah.
His name's Aaron Weber, I would say.
I think so.
The guy who's behind the Sonic Twitter, who pretty much changed the whole brand identity to something... Respectable feels wrong to say, but I think it is like a respectable standpoint by just making it kind of a meme, which made it more current and relevant than it ever was, and told them to take a chance on a Pixel game, which led to Mania, their best-selling game, best-rated game in probably 15 years. he stepped down to just do other stuff in his career, but everyone was just excited, like, hey, you know, I'm glad. Thanks for everything you did. You really, like, made this thing we all loved into something a lot of other people could see why we liked it, you know?
You really revolutionized the way that the brand, like, way that, like, brands interact on Twitter.
Actually,
as well.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, did that predate, like, Arby's and Wendy's and
I'm
stuff?
Pretty sure, because Arby's and Wendy's was more recent.
Yeah, I think Sonic Twitter was the first that was just, like, just talking shit to people, because they kind of got in a little bit of hot water when they said some game was going to be bad. Like, hey, we know what it's like to have a bad game. And people were like, that's not really cool. And like, yeah, okay, fine, but this game's not good. And we're not saying it in a mean way, but we also have had bad games, you know? So, yeah, I think they predated the Arby's and Wendy's trend, as far as I can remember. You know, I don't think you get clapped back Wendy's without seeing that, like, how successful it is with Sonic Twitter.
Yeah.
It was, you know, end of an era, but moving forward with lots of cool stuff.
That's true.
The other cool stuff, we had Steam Game Festival, was it Steam Summer Festival, was this weekend, as well as the EA Play Conference, I think it was called?
Yeah, EA Play was on Thursday.
What was that about?
Honestly, not a whole lot. so, I did watch it in its entirety, which, like, I kind of, like, I don't want to say regret, but, like, it definitely wasn't worth the time. Just because, like, they didn't have a whole lot to announce, which, you know, is fair. It's the year of a console release, console releases, so it's kind of hard to show a lot of, like, stuff you're working on, because you're either going to be, like, trying to show a bunch of stuff for the new technology that you may not have the license for yet, or you're just going to be showing stuff that you're petering out on, like, the current generation. But, like, the two interesting things were they showed more footage of the Star Wars Squadrons game, which is looking pretty interesting, at least, which is a game, basically a spiritual sequel to the TIE Fighter and X-Wing games.
Okay.
And, like, that looked interesting. And then, you know, they had a couple little things in there. They did their sports thing, and then they were like, oh, and we're so excited to finally tell you about this thing we're doing. And then, like, they brought on a couple of the devs from, like, I guess they were from the Skate franchise. I'm not super sure. I did not recognize them. And then they were like, you guys blew up our Twitter about it, so we're finally excited to announce it. And they just kept on saying, you know, it or the game. And, like, everyone was like, oh, it's Skate 4. It's like, yeah, but they never actually said Skate 4. So it's assumed it's Skate 4, but it could also just be a skate game. So, you know, who knows?
I mean, Tony Hawk is coming back in a remake, so I guess we gotta make another skate game.
Yeah.
Like, who else is gonna oversaturate the market if not Activision? It'll be us.
Yeah. It was just very strange to see the way that they messaged it, because it was like, hey, like, they're like, oh, it's, we're so excited to tell you about this. It's like, okay, well, you didn't really tell us anything, so...
The only thing I got out of it was that they have some games coming to Steam, finally, instead of Origin.
Yeah. That was their big thing, too, is it seems like they're at least allowing people to use the Steam platform rather than the EA Origin, should they choose.
Which is, so. You know, that'll make some people happy. I don't personally care, because, like,
yeah.
I don't really love the Epic Store because of some other things it does, but the fact that it's just another storefront has literally no bearing on my life. It's not like I have to go get another console. It's not like... Like, some people get really mad about the Epic Store just not being Steam,
yeah.
Which, if you have problems with how they run the Epic Store, I'll give you that. If you have problems with who they are connected with, I'll give you that. But be like, I don't want to download a whole other app to play games. I'm like, oh, really? That's pretty fun, because there's a game I was looking forward to come out on mobile one day, and they went iOS exclusive. I'm not going to buy another phone. I can't get this. It's not like, oh, I can't believe I have to download, like, a couple gigabytes so I can play more games. Like, I can't get this. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I mean, I could get a new phone or an iPad, but you know what I mean. I'd have to spend significant amounts of money to play this one game that I thought I was going to be able to play. That sucks a lot more.
Man,
in my
I can
opinion.
Like, I can mail you my old iPhone. It's still in a drawer.
I mean, I probably could do that. Like, I could get an iPhone. That it's more just the principle of it. I think is way like I think console exclusivity is far worse than like platform exclusivity.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, it's not coming to Steam. It's going to go to this other thing I can put on my computer. Now, if the issue is I don't want to put that thing on my computer, I'll give you that. But I think a lot of people are just, Steam's so terrible. Steam's so corrupt. People are like, well, here's an option. Like, no, not that. Oh, okay.
No, I don't like that option.
It's like, yeah.
They're all so bad.
Yeah, it's you're like, never okay. going to be able to love that option until something like changes. But yeah, like, Origin Uplay is not like a great platform to begin with, but it doesn't bother me to use it. That said, like, they are bringing Apex Legends to Steam, which is pretty cool, and they're bringing it to Switch and
yep.
doing crossplay, which is very nice whenever people get a chance. And basically, crossplay, it means, to those who don't know, you can play with your friends no matter what platform they're on.
So that means me, you, and Steph can play some Apex.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We could do that.
Probably won't, but we could.
I don't see that happening, but we could if we wanted to. It's a Battle Royale game, teams of three, and Steph could play on her Switch. And the two of us, Eric, could decide which platform we want to use. I would probably just stay on the PC.
Same.
My aim is bad enough. But we could play on the Switch if we wanted to.
Huh?
So that's pretty fun. That's cool. Like I said, the Steam Summer Festival was this past weekend. And I think I'm going to have some videos going up about some games that I played on this. I'm bringing up my desktop. So I downloaded about 12 games to play. Just demos. I hope that I get access to these demos after the festival's over, but I won't be able to download them. But I'll just do a quick run through of some of the games I played so far. I played this game called Fights in Tight Spaces. It's like isometric 3D deck builder fighting game. So think Slay the Spire. There's thousands of deck builder games now. The genre has been revitalized. It's really awesome. Normally they say so and so walked so and so could run, but Slay the Spire ran so these other people could do marathons, I guess, because. Because in Slay the Spire, it's just you versus a monster. You see what their intentions are, and you pick cards to try to defeat them, and you get more cards and relics and stuff like that. It's a roguelite, so I mean, whenever you die, you go back to the beginning with none of your equipment is saved, other than more perks are unlocked that you might get. Fights in Tight Spaces does that same basic premise, but you also have to maneuver a field, so like you're in a room with a couple other dudes or whatever, and you're some guy in a suit, and you can either do like a punch or move a couple spaces or like throw them around and stuff like that. But the characters are always going to do their action, so if there's a guy that's going to shoot you and you step out of the way, he's still going to shoot. So you could do something like slip past his buddy and throw his buddy into the line of fire, so that guy takes the bullet and loses HP instead of you, and that kind of stuff. So as far as the actual like cards that you're getting, it's not doing anything revolutionary with that, but the idea of having to move around the space and fight is cool. A game called Rhythm Doctor. Basically, it's a rhythm game, and you are a
you're
heart
a doctor.
Doctor. Yep. And everybody has like a heart
you
issue.
Rhythm, you are a doctor.
Yeah, but the first few levels are like, hey, always, you know, tap on the seventh beat, you know, da 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 da, tap, and, you know, just something simple. But it starts adding like distractions or like the ticker will stop on the one, and then you just have to still count in your head to the seven, stuff like that. Or some people will be on swing rhythms, like yeah go, stuff like that. Then the final level that's kind of in there, well, it's like the act end. You have to like keep track of several rhythms, like you know, like in musicals when three people are singing different lines at the same time, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And then the final boss, like the extra boss, was in 7/8 time instead of 4/4.
I hate that.
Which I can't count. So if you would have seen me playing this, I'm glad I didn't record myself. I have my eyes closed and I'm like swaying, like just trying to like keep the time because I can't count sevenths. That
way. Say seven eighths is like hard for like, you know, musicians in certain cases.
Yeah, so it wasn't easy, and they're like, it's not supposed to be easy, this wouldn't be the fourth level when you play the game, this is just, hey, here's the first level, it's pretty easy, here's a concept of how hard this can get. I really recommend it, check it out. Played a game called Floppy Nights. Floppy like floppy disks. I wouldn't have called it Floppy Nights, but it is very, very cute, though. I'll give them that. It's another deck builder. Surprise, surprise. But this one is interesting. It seems like there's a story mode in it, and you get the card. Like, it's predetermined what cards you're going to get, like, when you complete a match or whatever. But you can change what your deck is going to be. So kind of like in the old Mega Man Battle Networks, how you can only take 20 chips into battle. You have hundreds of different chips and combinations you could be using. But you take the ones you want into battle, and then you move around a field. Kind of like fights in tight spaces, you can have a card that moves you, or a card that summons a new monster to use, and you have to, like, either take an objective or take a spot, but the cards come up in random order. Still fun, still cute. Not sure what age group it's aimed at, because it seems like kind of, like, young and cartoony, but fun. I'll give it a shot. I think Adventure Time, Dicey Dungeons art. Those are the ones I really liked. I played another deck builder called Neurodeck. I think it needs a little bit of work. It was more of like, hey, what if the theming around deck building was like anxieties and stuff like that? Interesting. I can give some more description later, but we're running low on time. Played one called Cyberhook, which was basically a first-person platformer, always a precarious situation, but it's, you know, built around speedrunning, and you have a hook that you, it's a hookshot, you shoot it up to stuff and use it to like swing yourself around, do momentum, stuff like that. Pretty fun, got pretty hard, and the kind of game that I wouldn't be able to play very long because I'd get frustrated and be bad at it. I'm afraid of heights. Even if it's fake digital heights, my legs start to hurt. and I was trying really hard not to lose, and my hand was actually sweating. I'm like, I don't need this stress in my life. But I'd love to watch speedruns of it. And one called Super Buckyball Tournament. Didn't really grok with me too well. It's basically Rocket League with two players and a goalie. But your people instead of little cars. It's basically soccer with different stuff, so few more to play before the sale ends. A couple more card builders. That gory, cuddly carnage I talked about. Still got to play. But yeah, it's a Steam Summer Festival, and there's tons of demos. Hope they do it. I hope they keep doing this. It's really nice to get these demos and get a viewpoint. Sorry for the monologue.
No, I'm cool there. Yeah, I had wanted to check out a lot of the stuff for this Steam Summer Festival, but I kind of just sat on World of Warcraft most of the week. Weird.
You have until tomorrow at noon. So that means you have till tonight at 10, basically. But yeah, I think that's pretty much everything that we had.
Yeah, anything else happened? Think we might get in under clean hour here.
Yeah,
we might.
Though I don't know. You know, aside, cut this out if you want. But are we? Do you want to talk about our event that we're planning?
Yeah, let's put this out in the world. Let's make it happen. Hold us accountable. I guess we don't even have a date for it yet, but we want to do a charity event soon. Just, you know, use a little bit of platform we have. It's going to be a modest goal, but there's lots of LGBT plus related groups right now, Black Lives Matter groups, just various black people, queer people, people of color in general just are needing help right now, and we're not sure where we want to direct that attention yet. We're thinking of doing something like a 12-hour stream, like a long stream, to just, you know, bring some money into those groups and get some donations going, and we're gonna like get a little tipsy and tell some stories or do some like lore stuff.
Yep.
Maybe stream a couple games, do some Jackbox or something. Who knows? There's options, but that's something we want to do in a few weeks. We'll definitely put that out in the world more, like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and stuff. But yeah, we're thinking about doing something like that. So if you've listened this far, we appreciate you. So let us know what kind of platform you'd like to see that on, whether it be Twitch or YouTube. We could probably do both, but that gets a little dicey, but no, we're willing to do that for the fans, for the cause. That's what we're doing. So yeah, look out for that. It'll be coming soon. We'll keep everybody updated. But yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, that you said it better than I could have.
Oh well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sounds good at talking on the fly.
I like to orate. Is that how that works?
That calls into order.
What? I'm the rural orator.
Oof. All right, well, I'm going to just take the W here and go on to get the social media business, if that's cool with y'all.
Yeah, roll us out of here, please. Katamari Queen.
So if you want to find us on the internet, you can do that. That is Character Rev on Twitter, Character Reveal on Facebook and Instagram. Our website is characterreveal.simplecast.fm, where you can listen to these episodes in your browser. If you want to find us in your podcast catcher of choice, you can just look for Character Reveal, see those blue curtains, know what's up. Leave a rating and review if that suits your fancy. You can find Dom at Brother Dom anywhere on the internet, Eric at Tindy Losi on Twitter and elsewhere, as we have established, and me at Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snowqueer on Tumblr, and Captain Steph on Instagram. And that's the biz.
And that is the biz. Hey, listeners, thanks so much for hanging out with us for another one. Thanks for taking the biz. We'll be back again next week with more hot takes and pop culture goodness. But until next time, see you later.
Bye.
See ya.